Hey everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be tackling Robert Kiyosaki's Fake.
Oh yeah.
This book really throws down the gauntlet. It questions some of the fundamental ideas we have about money and teachers and even assets. Kiyosaki doesn't hold back. He calls them all fake. And I gotta admit, some of it really left me scratching my head. Like, he claims that saving money won't make you rich. And our houses are actually liabilities.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, he's definitely known for being provocative. Pushing buttons. But I think what's interesting is that he does back up these bold statements with a pretty compelling argument. He's essentially saying that the systems we often rely on, especially when it comes to finances, might be setting us up for struggle in a world that's constantly changing.
Okay, so let's start with this idea of a fake future that Kiyosaki keeps talking about. What is that all about?
Right.
Sounds a bit ominous, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it all starts with his view that the economic system is rigged against the average person. And he places a lot of emphasis on what he calls fake money and how it contributes to this problem.
Fake money. Okay, now you've got me really curious. What does he even mean by that?
Well, Kiyosaki argues that ever since President Nixon took the U.S. dollar off the gold standard back in 1971, our money has become what's known as fiat money. Now imagine for a second that you're back in the days of bartering, trading goods and services directly. Fiat money is kind of the opposite of that.
Okay, fine.
Instead of relying on something tangible like gold, fiat money is essentially government-issued currency that's not backed by a physical commodity. Think of it this way. Its value is based solely on the trust and confidence we have in the government that issued it. Kind of makes you think about that phrase on the dollar bill, "In God We Trust," doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
So are you saying that the dollar is basically worthless then?
Well, not exactly worthless. But Kiyosaki's point is that this system gives governments the power to print more money whenever they want, which can lead to inflation. You know, when things start costing more and your money doesn't buy as much as it used to, and that can have a big impact on your savings. Think about it. If you're diligently putting money aside, but its value is constantly being eroded by inflation, it's like running on a treadmill. You're working hard, but not really getting ahead.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. It's like how a gallon of milk used to cost a dollar, and now, you know.
Yeah.
And this ties into another point that Kiyosaki makes that really surprised me. He says, saving money won't make you rich.
Huh.
But isn't saving, like, the cornerstone of personal finance?
Well, it is. And that's precisely why Kiyosaki challenges this conventional wisdom. He draws a clear distinction between assets and liabilities, and he's kind of flipping the script on how we typically think about them. True assets put money into your pocket, while liabilities take money out.
So like a rental property that generates income would be an asset, while that brand new truck you just bought that's costing you money would be a liability.
You got it. But Kiyosaki goes even further. He claims that even buying a house, something that many consider a solid investment, can actually be a trap.
Wait, hold on. How can a house, something that most people consider a path to building wealth, be a liability? I'm not sure I'm following.
Well, think about your house for a second. Sure, it might increase in value over time, but it also comes with a whole bunch of expenses. Mortgage payments, property taxes, insurance, repairs. So Kiyosaki argues that this constant outflow of cash, rather than generating income, often makes a house more of a liability than an asset. Now, he's not saying that everyone should sell their homes, but he encourages us to look at the numbers carefully and consider the impact on our overall cash flow.
Okay, that's making more sense now. So he's challenging us to rethink what we consider assets and to focus on generating income right.
Exactly. And Kiyosaki contrasts this with owning a business, which he sees as a potential asset because it can create a stream of income that flows into your pocket, not out of it.
Okay. So we've got fake money. We've got houses potentially being liabilities instead of assets. And then there's this whole idea of fake teachers. Now, as someone who deeply values education, I got to admit, that one made me bristle a bit.
I understand. Mm. And it's certainly a loaded term. Kiyosaki isn't necessarily saying that all teachers are bad or intentionally misleading us. His critique is more about the education system itself and how it often prepares us for jobs, but not necessarily for financial success. So think about your own experience. Did school really teach you how to manage your money, invest wisely, or build wealth?
You know, now that you mention it, not really. It was all about getting good grades and going to college, which, don't get me wrong, is important, but it didn't exactly equip me with the skills to navigate the real world of finances.
That's exactly Kiyosaki's point. He argues that traditional schools often fall short when it comes to teaching practical financial literacy, leaving graduates ill-equipped to handle the complexities of money. And he points to the student loan crisis as evidence of this, highlighting the disturbing fact that student loan debt is actually the U.S. government's number one asset. He even goes so far as to call it a form of extortion.
Wow. That's pretty intense. So we've got fake money, we've got fake teachers, and now, wait a minute, there's more, right? Kiyosaki talks about fake assets and how billions are invested in them. So fill me in on this. What are these so-called fake assets?
Well, they might not seem so fake at first glance, but Kiyosaki includes things like 401k, ass IRAs, mutual funds, even government pensions in this category.
Wait, seriously? But those are like the cornerstones of most people's retirement plans. How could you possibly call those fake?
Well, it all circles back to his core definition of assets and liabilities. Where's the money flowing? Kiyosaki argues that these investment vehicles, while often presented as safe and reliable, can actually involve more money flowing out of your pocket than in paybe.
I see. So he's saying they might look like assets on paper, but in reality, they could be draining your resources through fees management costs and even contributions.
You got it. He emphasizes that instead of blindly trusting these traditional systems, you need to understand how they work and be in control of your money, making it work for you, not the other way around.
Okay, this is all pretty eye-opening. But Kiyosaki doesn't just focus on the problems. He also talks about how the rich often get richer even when markets crash. How does that even make sense?
Well, Kiyosaki argues that market crashes, while devastating for many, can actually create unique opportunities for the wealthy. They have the resources and the knowledge to buy up assets at bargain prices while everyone else is panicking and selling low. It's kind of like a counterintuitive real estate strategy, but on a much grander scale.
So they're essentially using the crash to their advantage, scooping up bargains while others are losing out. Seems a bit unfair, doesn't it?
It can definitely feel that way, but it highlights Kiyosaki's point about being financially prepared and having a strategy to navigate economic downturns. Remember, he's all about empowering individuals to take control of their finances and create their own opportunities, regardless of what's happening in the market.
It's definitely a lot to process, and it really challenges a lot of the conventional wisdom about money and finance. But I think that's what makes Kiyosaki's work so compelling. He makes you question everything and think differently.
Exactly. He's not afraid to stir the pot and make us re-examine our assumptions. And even if you don't agree with everything he says, I think it's valuable to be exposed to different perspectives and think critically about your own financial choices.
Well said. And speaking of choices, I want to remind our listeners in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena that you have a choice to support local initiatives that are making a real difference right here in our community. If you're finding value in this deep dive and the information we're sharing, we encourage you to check out Think and Act Locally.
Yeah, they're doing amazing work.
They're doing amazing work to empower residents in our Southeast Houston area and help us all thrive. You can find a link to donate in the show notes. Every contribution helps us continue these conversations and make a positive impact.
Now, getting back to Kiyosaki, one of the things that really stood out to me was his take on the U.S. dollar. He seems pretty skeptical about its future, doesn't he?
He does. And it's a bit unsettling, to be honest. What are his concerns exactly?
Well, Kiyosaki believes that government-controlled currencies like the U.S. dollar are inherently unstable. He points out that their value is ultimately based on confidence. And if that confidence erodes for whatever reason, the whole system could be at risk.
So like a house of cards, it all works as long as everyone believes in it. But if that belief disappears, the whole thing could come crashing down.
That's a good analogy. And Kiyosaki argues that we need to be aware of this inherent risk and consider alternative ways to protect our wealth, like investing in assets with intrinsic value, such as gold and silver. He also stresses the importance of diversifying your investments, not putting all your eggs in one basket, so to speak.
Right. That makes sense. So what does Kiyosaki suggest we do? Just wait for the inevitable collapse?
Not at all. He's all about taking action. He actually provides a lot of practical advice for individuals to take control of their finances and build resilience regardless of what happens with the U.S. dollar or the broader economy.
So he's not just doom and gloom. He's offering solutions.
Exactly. He emphasizes the importance of financial literacy, understanding how money works, how the financial system operates, and how to make informed decisions that align with your goals.
So it's about being proactive, educating yourself, and not just blindly following the crowd.
Absolutely. He also talks about the power of entrepreneurship. and creating multiple streams of income. Remember, he achieved financial independence at a young age, and he believes others can do the same by adopting the right mindset and taking action.
This is all incredibly insightful. But before we jump into Kiyosaki's personal journey and the specific steps he took, let's take a quick pause.
Of course.
It's a lot to take in, and we want to make sure you have time to digest it all. We'll be back in a moment to continue our deep dive into Robert Kiyosaki's Fake.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were discussing some of the thought-provoking and sometimes unsettling ideas presented in Robert Kiyosaki's Fake. We've unpacked his concepts of fake money, fake teachers, and even fake assets. Now you might be wondering, what's the solution? Does Kiyosaki offer any guidance on how to navigate this so-called fake system?
That's a great question, and I was wondering the same thing. You know, it can feel overwhelming to hear about all these potential pitfalls, especially if you're just starting out on your financial journey. So does Kiyosaki just leave us hanging? Or does he offer some practical advice?
Well, he definitely doesn't leave us empty-handed. In fact, Kiyosaki draws a lot from his personal journey to financial independence. He achieved this at a young age, and he attributes much of his success to entrepreneurship and making savvy investment choices. Throughout the book, he emphasizes the importance of taking control of your financial future and not relying solely on traditional systems.
That makes sense, but it's easier said than done, right? I mean, not everyone is cut out to be an entrepreneur. And the thought of investing can be intimidating for a lot of people. So how does Kiyosaki bridge that gap?
One of the key things Kiyosaki stresses is the importance of financial literacy. He believes that everyone, regardless of their background or career aspirations, should have a solid understanding of how money works. He encourages readers to educate themselves about different investment opportunities, learn how to assess risk and potential return, and develop a sound financial strategy.
So it's about empowering yourself with knowledge and making informed decisions rather than just blindly following the advice of others.
Exactly. And Kiyosaki doesn't shy away from criticizing the education system for failing to equip people with these essential skills. He believes that financial literacy should be a fundamental part of our education, just like reading, writing, and math.
It's true that we learned about history, science, and literature in school, but personal finance often gets overlooked. It's like we're expected to just figure it out on our own, which can lead to a lot of mistakes and missed opportunities.
And that's where Kiyosaki comes in. Trying to fill that gap with his books and teachings, he also emphasizes the value of mentorship and building a network of people who can guide you and share their expertise. He's a big believer in surrounding yourself with individuals who are knowledgeable and successful in the areas you want to pursue.
So it's about finding mentors, building connections, and learning from those who have already achieved what you aspire to. It sounds like that entrepreneurial spirit can apply even if you aren't starting a traditional business.
Absolutely. And remember, this isn't just about getting rich. It's about creating a life of freedom and abundance, doing what you love, and having the financial resources to support your passions. And Kiyosaki believes that one of the best ways to achieve this is to invest in what you're passionate about.
Okay, that resonates with me. I think a lot of people dream of turning their passions into profitable ventures. But how do you know what will actually be successful? It can be tough to balance your heart with your head, especially when money is involved.
Kiyosaki acknowledges that it's not always easy, but he encourages people to identify their strengths, explore their interests, and find ways to monetize their skills and talents. He also stresses the importance of taking calculated risks, stepping outside your comfort zone, and being willing to learn from your mistakes along the way.
So it's not about playing it safe,
but
about being strategic and embracing the ups and downs that come with pursuing your passions.
Exactly. And Kiyosaki is a firm believer in the power of learning from failure. He actually dedicates a whole chapter to this in Fake, titled, Why Mistakes Are Your Best Real Teachers.
Now, I have to admit, that title caught my eye. You know, it's easy to beat ourselves up over mistakes, especially when it comes to money. But Kiyosaki seems to embrace them, almost encouraging us to make some. Why is that?
He argues that our education system conditions us to fear mistakes. But in the real world, they are inevitable and can be incredibly valuable learning experiences. So instead of trying to avoid them at all costs, he encourages readers to analyze their mistakes, extract lessons from them, and use those lessons to make better decisions in the future.
So it's like that saying, you win or you learn. It's a shift in perspective. Seeing mistakes not as failures, but as opportunities for growth, that's pretty powerful.
It is, and it connects back to his idea of financial literacy. The more you understand how things work, the more informed decisions you can make. And even if you do make mistakes, you'll be better equipped to learn from them and course correct.
It's like having a financial GPS. You might take a wrong turn now and then, but you can always reroute and get back on track. And I love how Kiyosaki emphasizes the importance of asking for help, something that is often discouraged in traditional schooling, where we're supposed to have all the answers.
Absolutely. He argues that successful entrepreneurs and investors rarely go it alone. They build teams, surround themselves with mentors, and are willing to ask for guidance when they need it.
So it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help, but rather a sign of strength and a commitment to learning and growth.
Exactly. And it circles back to his idea of building a strong team, whether that's through mentors, advisors, or partners. Having a network of people you trust can make a huge difference in your journey.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, we've talked a lot about the potential pitfalls of traditional systems and the importance of financial literacy. But Kiyosaki doesn't just offer abstract concepts. He also provides some very concrete advice for protecting yourself from economic turmoil, especially when it comes to the U.S. dollar. He doesn't paint a very optimistic picture of its future, does he?
He does express some concern about the long-term stability of government-controlled currencies, and the U.S. dollar is no exception. He points to historical examples of hyperinflation and economic crises caused by excessive money printing, suggesting that we can't just assume the dollar will always maintain its value.
That sounds a bit scary. Is he saying that we should all panic and ditch the dollar? What does he suggest we do?
No, not at all. He's not advocating for panic, but rather for preparedness. He encourages people to diversify their assets, meaning not putting all their eggs in one basket. This might involve investing in things like gold and silver, which have historically held their value during times of economic uncertainty.
So it's like having a backup plan, a way to hedge against potential risks and protect your wealth, no matter what happens with the dollar.
Exactly. He's all about creating a safety net and building financial resilience. He also stresses the importance of developing multiple streams of income. So instead of relying solely on a job, he encourages people to explore different ways to generate cash flow. This could involve starting a side business, investing in real estate, or creating passive income streams through things like online courses or digital products.
It's interesting how he ties this back to entrepreneurship, even if it's not in the traditional sense. It's about taking control of your finances and creating your own opportunities, right?
Absolutely. And it connects to his belief in the power of individual initiative and not being overly reliant on government or institutional systems. He emphasizes the importance of being proactive and taking responsibility for your own financial well-being.
It's definitely a message of empowerment and one that resonates with our mission here at Think and Act Locally.
Mm-mm.
We're all about empowering residents in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena to take charge of their lives and make a positive impact in our community.
That's right. And we believe that financial literacy is a key part of that empowerment. When you understand how money works, you have more control over your choices and your future.
Couldn't agree more. And for our listeners who are finding value in this deep dive and want to support our mission, you can find a link to donate to Think and Act Locally in the show notes. Every contribution makes a difference.
Now, getting back to Kiyosaki, let's shift gears and dive into some of the specific advice he offers. For building wealth and achieving financial freedom, one of the key concepts he highlights is the distinction between good debt and bad debt. This can be a bit confusing, so let's break it down for our listeners.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think a lot of people have been conditioned to believe that all debt is bad. But Kiyosaki seems to suggest that there are certain types of debt that can actually work in your favor.
That's right. He argues that good debt is debt that is used to acquire assets that generate income. For example, if you take out a loan to buy a rental property, that produces positive cash flow. That could be considered good debt. The income from the property helps you pay off the loan.
Yes.
While also building equity.
So it's about using debt strategically as a tool to leverage your investments and create wealth.
Exactly. On the other hand, bad debt is debt that is used to purchase liabilities, things that drain your cash flow and don't appreciate in value. Think about credit card debt used to buy clothes or gadgets. That's money going out of your pocket without any real return.
It's a helpful distinction. I think a lot of people struggle with credit card debt and consumer spending habits. Kiyosaki seems to be advocating for a mindset shift, encouraging us to be more mindful about how we use debt and to focus on building assets that will generate income and build long-term wealth.
Exactly. He also emphasizes the importance of having a solid financial plan, a roadmap that outlines your goals and the steps you need to take to achieve them. This includes things like creating a budget, tracking your expenses, and making a plan to pay off any high-interest debt.
So it's not just about dreaming big. It's about having a practical plan and taking concrete steps to make those dreams a reality.
Absolutely. And Kiyosaki reminds us that financial success is a journey, not a destination. It's about making consistent progress, learning from your experiences, and constantly adjusting your approach as needed.
It's about building healthy habits, developing a growth mindset, and staying committed to your goals even when things get tough. And sometimes it can be helpful to have a mentor or guide along the way.
Absolutely. Having someone to bounce ideas off of, offer advice, and provide support can be incredibly valuable. And, you know, that's one of the things we strive to do here at Think and Act Locally, provide a network of support and resources for our community.
That's right. We believe in empowering residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena with the knowledge and tools they need to thrive. And for those who want to be a part of this mission and help us continue to provide these resources, we encourage you to check out the donation link in our show notes.
Every contribution makes a difference. Now, before we move on to the final part of our deep dive, where we'll explore Kiyosaki's intriguing definition of money and his thoughts on the future of finance, we want to hear from you. What are your biggest takeaways from our discussion so far? What resonates with you the most?
We'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. Feel free to share them on our social media channels, and we'll do our best to address them in our next episode. Staying tuned.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Robert Kiyosaki's Fake. We've covered a lot of ground, from fake money and fake teachers to the power of entrepreneurship and the importance of financial literacy. You might be thinking, okay, I get it. I need to be more proactive with my money. But where do I even start?
Right.
Well, that's a great question. And it's something that Kiyosaki addresses head on. He provides a roadmap for achieving financial freedom. And it all starts with shifting your mindset.
A mindset shift. What does that look like?
Well, Kiyosaki encourages readers to embrace what he calls an eagle mindset. And he contrasts this with a chicken mindset, which represents those who play it safe, follow the rules, and often end up kind of stuck in the financial coop. The eagles, on the other hand, are the bold risk takers, the entrepreneurs and investors who soar above the crowd. Now, he's not saying that everyone needs to start a business, but he emphasizes the importance of adopting that entrepreneurial spirit, regardless of your chosen path.
So it's about thinking outside the box, being willing to take calculated risks, and not letting fear hold you back from pursuing your financial goals.
Exactly. It's about being proactive, seeking out opportunities, and taking ownership of your financial destiny. And it ties back to his emphasis on financial literacy. The more you understand how money works, the more empowered you'll be to make smart decisions and navigate the complexities of the financial world.
Yeah, it's like having a financial compass. You might not always know the exact route, but you'll have a sense of direction and be able to adjust your course as needed. And remember, Kiyosaki stresses that it's a journey, not a race. There will be ups and downs, but the key is to stay focused on your goals and keep learning and growing along the way.
That's such a crucial point, and I think it's one of the reasons that Kiyosaki's work resonates with so many people. He doesn't sugarcoat things or offer any quick fixes. He acknowledges the challenges, but also emphasizes the potential rewards of taking control of your finances and building a life of abundance.
It's a message of empowerment, and it aligns perfectly with the work being done by Think and Act Locally, right here in our community. They're providing resources and support to help residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena take charge of their lives and create positive change. It's inspiring to see so many people embracing that eagle mindset and making a difference.
It is, and we applaud their efforts. For our listeners who are inspired by this message and want to support Think and Act Locally, you can find a link to donate in our show notes. Your contribution helps them continue to empower our community and make a real impact.
Now, before we wrap up our deep dive, there's one more concept from Kiyosaki that I want to explore. He defines money as an idea backed by confidence. That's pretty profound, isn't it? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a deceptively simple statement, but it really gets to the heart of how money functions in our society. You know, think about it. Money itself doesn't have any intrinsic value. It's just a piece of paper or a digital entry. Its value comes from the collective belief that we as a society have agreed to give it meaning and worth.
So it's like a giant game of trust. We all agree to play by the rules and believe in the system.
Yep.
And as long as that trust holds, everything works.
Exactly. And Kiyosaki highlights the potential fragility of this trust. He points to historical examples of currencies collapsing when that confidence erodes, often due to factors like hyperinflation or government mismanagement.
That's a bit unsettling. especially with all the economic uncertainty in the world today. It makes you wonder, what does the future hold for money? Will we continue to use traditional currencies? Or will something else emerge?
Those are questions worth pondering, and Kiyosaki doesn't offer any easy answers. But he encourages us to be aware of the potential risks and to explore alternative ways to protect our wealth. This might involve diversifying into assets like gold and silver, investing in real estate, or even exploring cryptocurrencies, which are decentralized and not controlled by governments.
It sounds like he's advocating for a proactive approach, not just waiting to see what happens, but taking steps to prepare for different possibilities.
Absolutely. And that's where financial literacy becomes so crucial. The more you understand about different asset classes, investment strategies, and the global financial landscape, the better equipped you'll be to make informed decisions and navigate whatever the future holds.
It's about taking ownership of your financial well-being and creating a future that aligns with your values and goals. And that's a message we can all embrace, regardless of our current financial situation.
Couldn't agree more. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Robert Kiyosaki's Fake, we encourage you to continue exploring these ideas and to apply what resonates with you to your own financial journey.
Remember, it's about questioning assumptions, challenging conventional wisdom, and seeking out knowledge and resources that empower you to make informed decisions. And if you're looking for support and guidance right here in our community, check out Think and Act Locally. They're doing incredible work to empower residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena to thrive. You can find a link to donate in our show notes. Every contribution helps them continue their mission of building a brighter future for all of us.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it insightful and empowering.
Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep diving deep.